speakers. It's Dr. Victoria H. She's a senior epidemiologist. She has worked for Health Canada and now for the Public Health Agency of Canada since 2000. So she's currently with the Office of Public Health Practice. Dr. Hedge works in population health assessment and scenario analysis related to public health issues. Her degrees include a BSc in wildlife biology, an MSc in applied biostatistics, and a PhD in epidemiology. She is an adjunct professor with the Department of Population Medicine at the University of Guelph. She is a co-supervisor and committee member for several graduate students. And in this role, Dr. Hedge has worked primarily on public health-related research, primarily in Canadian Inuit communities, with work related to surveillance, infectious diseases, both zoonotic and waterborne, and also foodborne, climate change and eco-health approaches. Research projects have investigated different methodologies in enhancing the capture of community health and environmental health data. One such community-led project that Dr. Hedge is involved in is the use of digital storytelling as a way to utilize digital media to document and share stories about the effect of climate change on human health. Dr. Hedge is also a co-lead of the public health program with the Canadian Water Network Center of Excellence, which allows for promoting a public health perspective in encouraging innovative and multidisciplinary research of water-related issues in Canada. She's accompanied by Mrs. Shirley Harper. She's a PhD student and a Vanier Canada Graduate Scholar, CHR, in the Department of Population Medicine at the University of Guelph. She's currently a co-director of the Changing Climate, Changing Health, Changing Stories Project, which is a community-based, participatory, and interdisciplinary project that examines the impacts of climate change on human health and well-being in Nunavut. Nunavut Siavut. Her master thesis was entitled Weather, Water, and Health in the Context of a Changing Climate in Nunavut Siavut, Canada, and it investigated association between water, weather, and health variable. She also evaluated the e-book health registry and co-created and implemented an educational program to further develop local weather, water health knowledge and understanding in Nunavut Siavut. Shirley has received numerous scholarships, award grants to support the work and presented at numerous conferences.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your patience with all the running around and getting this organized, and thank you so much for the support system we have back here to set this up properly for us. And I would like to thank the organizers for inviting us both to this conference. This is really a pleasure and an honor to be here. I am very cognizant of the fact that we are approaching lunchtime and that sugar levels are getting probably dramatically low. But I assure you that in the next 20 minutes or so, you won't have a lot of words to focus on because we're going to try out something here and just have a lot of pictures, and we're going to speak to those. So hopefully that will help you sort of buoy you along until we get to the lunch hour. So a lot of these pictures then, photos are taken by Sherry and myself and other of the community members from the wonderful community of Rigolet and Nunavut Siavut. So we're going to be speaking about a community-based initiative that involves digital storytelling, and this originated from research on health and community capacity related to adaptations to climate change. This was part of Sherry's master's project, which I had the pleasure of co-supervising over the last few years. We are pleased, though, I want to stress that we're pleased to speak here on behalf of a really great team. So this is not just the two of us here. Great. And here's the team. So this is the My Word and Storytelling and Digital Media team. The two main research leads or the drivers of the project initially were Sherry and also Ashley Consola-Willicks, who was also a PhD student at the University of Guelph. The project was originally very enthusiastically supported by the now previous or past Angukak, or mayor in Rigolet, and that was Dan Michelin, and the town manager, Sarah Blake. The new mayor, Charlotte Wolfrey, she also is very excited about the project and what it might do for the community. And the local members on the project team are Tanya Pottle, Dinah Wolfrey, Ashley Flowers, and Carlene Palliser. So at this time, too, I'd like to mention that the funding for this project initially was a Health Canada initiative from First Nations Inuit Health Branch with regards to adaptations to community adaptations to climate change. So how did we get to Rigolet? It's a very tiny community. Where is it? Well, first of all, it's a small fly-in community, Inuit community, of about 270 people, and it's in the Inuit region of Nunatsiavut, and that's in the northern Labrador, so on the east coast of Canada. It is one of four Inuit Nunat, or Inuit regions in Canada, in Nunatsiavut. I had been doing some work as a co-investigator on a project looking at community health data and waterborne infectious diseases in the neighboring Inuit Nunat of Nunavik, and that's in northern Quebec. And part of that, we linked up with a project in Nunatsiavut that was indicating that there were some issues around the consumption of raw water. So this is a common habit in some of the Inuit communities, is to drink raw water and the occurrence of acute gastrointestinal illness. So in order to investigate this further, we organized a separate and slightly broader project that really focused on the cases of GI and looking at climate change, potential impacts of weather, water quality, and human health, so those linkages. And that's really what started off this 2.5 or 3 year odyssey or project, I guess you want to call it, with building on relationships and working with the communities in Nunatsiavut in that context. And that's what sort of formed the basis of Sherry's master's project. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Sherry so that she can talk about the project that sort of kicked off the eventual lead into the digital storytelling project.
Okay, so as Victoria mentioned and was mentioned earlier, I did my master's thesis project in Nunatsiavut looking at the linkages between weather patterns, water quality, and human health. We worked in two communities, Nain and Rigolet, and we established great relationships with both of the communities, and we ended the project with a really great knowledge translation piece where we went into the community of Rigolet and we held a 5-day series workshop in the high school, and we taught them about the local relationships between weather, water, and health in their community, and then we asked them what they felt was the most important message from our research. And then we asked them to develop that message into some sort of media so that that message could be communicated to the broader Nunatsiavut community. The project was a lot of fun, and Rigolet in particular took a huge interest in climate research and wanted to continue climate health research after my master's thesis project. So when the First Nations Inuit Health Branch grant for communities to do research on climate change came up, Rigolet applied. And they proposed to use digital media to capture climate change observations in the community through storytelling. The grant is really unique because it gives the money directly to the community. So instead of giving it to an academic institution, it's given to the community, so it's not only community-based, but it's community-directed, community-driven, community-run, community-managed. And Rigolet has been doing really, really well. To date, they've received over $260,000 to support this project, and it's been amazing. Rigolet has worked with a transdisciplinary team, and they have collected climate change observations and climate change health linkages through the use of digital storytelling.
Oh, good. You put the photo credit. Thanks. Okay. So the question of data, and having had a very quantitative background before this, I'm always very concerned about data and data quality. And certainly working with public health agency, we work with a lot of data internationally and nationally. So there's a real issue, and I'm sure many of you are aware, of quality of data and quantity of data a lot of the time. And this is particularly a problem in the north. The paucity of health data became really obvious during Sherry's work on her master's project, and which really relied very much on the paper-based system of patient visit data in Nunatsiavut. When you were mentioning moving of the data of paper, basically, from communities, it's no different there. They fill in forms in big books, and they fly them down to Goose Bay, and so everything is still handwritten. It's a big concern in terms of capturing data, and then nothing happens with it. It just stays in the registries. So So basically then we have this lack of data, and also the reportable disease information system, it's essentially, it's non-existent data, especially for acute gastrointestinal illness. So how are we going to actually figure out what the health situations are? So in public health in general, we recognize that there is a fair degree of underreporting, particularly in infectious diseases, and I think that's fairly well known. But not surprisingly, given the challenges of remoteness for a lot of these communities, that is just, it's even worse. So you're really having a hard time to determine the community health status. So when it came to addressing issues around the question, community health and climate change, it became clear that we'd have to take a bit of an innovative approach in terms of what we consider to be data. And that's where the concept of the digital stories came up, as a way of capturing locally generated data so that the community could actually generate that data as well. And it would certainly relate very well with the oral and storytelling culture of the Inuit as a way of capturing that information. So this is sort of where we come into the theme of this conference session in terms of innovative technologies for global health. And I think we're sort of twisting the point a little bit. And basically, that I don't think that the technology of using videos and oral histories is very innovative at this stage in the game. But it's basically, the innovation is in how we're using it and how the community in particular is using it. And certainly in terms of defining their health of this community. And when I say health of the community, I'm referring to physical, emotional, cultural and environmental health. So there are a whole realm of issues there. So, and particularly in terms of the context of climate change, it's critical to establish some sort of a baseline so that we know where we're starting, or know where we've been basically, where we're starting, and to find out, you know, are things actually changing as we move over time? Right now, there are a lot of anecdotes around this, but we don't actually have any sort of solid evidence or solid stories. So Inuit are intimately tied to the land. They have a very deep knowledge and memory of trends of things that have happened. There's truly a richness of data there, perhaps not in terms of numbers, but in other types of formats. So this methodology then allows the community to take control of their own data, per se. And it offers opportunities as to how they can actually use it to address their own issues, particularly related to various health issues or climate change in their own communities and also in Inatsiavut. And it provides a medium for them that they can use very effectively to teach us. And when I mean us in the global sense. So I think I'm going to flip to you.
Okay, so when we conduct our research, we are creating our own story. And when we share our research results, we're telling our research story. And I thought that it was really interesting today because when each presenter came up, they told their story. So there was a beginning, a middle, end. People talked about challenges, what's coming up next. And each speaker also had a personal narrative to go with their presentation. And I think that that's also true for reports or journal articles as well. And I think that sharing our research results is really, really important. So what we know or what we discover in our research is important, but what's even more important is what we do with that information and what we do with what we've learned. But that's not always easy to do in the academic community or in the non-academic community, but it's really the most important part. Because even the most brilliant research won't be useful unless we translate it into something that's meaningful to all of us. And I think that that's where the power of storytelling and personal narrative could be really interesting and could be really powerful to support research findings. So data can take many forms, but it's how we piece it together to make a bigger picture that's important. Okay. So how did the community of Rigolet take their climate data and piece it together to tell their research story? Well, they used digital storytelling. And digital storytelling is the process of taking a personal narrative and adding audio and visual effects and you know, text and a number of different things to kind of illustrate their personal narrative. And Rigolet does this by holding workshops in their community. And the workshop that I attended was on the topic of climate change and health, and it started out on the land. So for a weekend, we went out to some winter cabins, and that kind of gave the participants an opportunity to connect with the land and to think about what story they want to tell. And then we have a story circle. And at the story circle, each participant had the opportunity to share a story with the group that they felt was really important for them to tell at that moment in time. And that means that sometimes the story that's told isn't actually on the topic of the workshop. Then we go back to town, and the participants spend the rest of the week developing that story that they told in the story circle into their digital story. So there's a number of different workshops and exercises that the participants go through to gain skills in photography and video editing, and a number of different things. And at the end of the workshop, their story is shared at a private screening with just the workshop participants. And I found that this was actually incredibly emotional, and people were very proud of their end product. So to date, the digital stories in Riglot have been used for a lot of different things. They've posted them on the internet, they've made DVDs, they've shown them at public screenings. And I think it just points to the fact that these digital stories are a really great vehicle to communicate messages from communities. And now we would like to try and share one of the stories with you. We'll see how it goes.
My dad was a trapper. Them days, that was his way of life. Once I got old enough to carry a gun, he said I was ready to hunt. My dad took me out to Pont Mazon duck hunting. I got up to shoot, a little nervous, and when the ducks started flying away, I started shooting. The ducks dropped. I looked back at my dad and I was grinning ear to ear. These days, I notice our brooks and ponds are drying up. Hunting has changed, not so plentiful. Eating healthy is hard to do these days. The stuff from the store is so expensive, and so much salt in there, and preservatives. It's not good for us. It's time for us to be eating our own traditional foods, so we can take care of our bodies. I remember one spring when I went down to the bottom of Back Bay trouting. After the ice went out of Main Brook, I was one of the first ones to get down there, so everybody was hungry for a meal of fresh trout. When I arrived at Riglot, taking my trout out of my boat, there was a group of women out by the door of the craft shop, and when they seen me unloading my catch, they all bawled out to me and started coming down to see me. They asked me if I had a meal of trout for them. I gave fish to whoever wanted a meal. I kept 3 trout, enough for a meal for my family. I was brought up to share. That's part of our traditional ways. That's changing too. Because hunting is so expensive. Gas prices and shells. Not everybody wants to give their hunt away. We need to keep teaching that tradition to the younger ones. So we can carry on our way of life as long as we can. Grand Lake in springtime. Head out for old Kennamoo. We'll stop in at Northwest Island.
I know, I'm out of time. but I just wanted to say that these stories have really caught on in the community of Rigolet, and they've used the storytelling for a number of issues beyond the climate change and health, and that's something that we as researchers and participants in this whole community project have to be extremely aware of and take very be very careful to look at what we're doing and the responsibilities accorded with that. A lot of these stories are very emotional and very powerful, and they're not just powerful for the person who's saying the story, but they're also very powerful with regards to family, friends, and the community itself. So we need to take care in how we use our innovative technologies and tools and different methodologies with the people we work with. So the future, however, looks very bright. They are a community now who are really engaged in this process. They're very excited. They're very hopeful. They're learning lots. They're training, and they're taking their training outside of the community and wanting to build like a business plan around this project as well. So it's very much from the community at this point, and we're supporting them. So that's a really nice transition that we were really hoping for, is building this community capacity. So I'd just like to say, Nakume, thank you very much for your attention today. And if you have any questions, of course, we're here to answer them. Thank you.